Welcome to the White House Family Spoken Novels Podcast, episode 296. Today we're reading chapter 26 of the novel, I Know What Prayer Can Do, by Daniel White III with his wife Marika White. Tucker Gravelin's inquiries to the airlines and the INS office proved unsuccessful. He did random checks at Jennifer's apartment, but that too was unsuccessful. She left with a suitcase and a medium-sized box. A neighbor informed him she seemed in a hurry. Gravelin passed this information on to Quinton, who passed it on to Aubrey. Well, at least we know she's alive, Aubrey said, as she left a new message on Jennifer's cell phone. Jennifer resisted the urge to return the calls. She was more interested in getting answers to questions that had been plaguing her lately. What exactly is wrong with Louise? Was he born with some kind of brain disorder? If so, why didn't Mrs. Francia tell her about it? Why does she seem to live in fear of her husband? Exactly what does Mr. Francia do for a living? Why didn't Mr. Francia let her read for herself the report from the emergency room visit with Louise? Does their sudden return from Spain have anything to do with Louise's condition? I am determined to get some answers while I have the chance, she thought. Mr. Francia called her around 10 that night and again at 10 in the morning. Now you wouldn't run out on us, would you? He asked her, especially with Louise in your care. That would be kidnapping. Jennifer, more hurt than shocked that he would think such a thing, answered, Of course not. Mr. Francia chuckled. I didn't think so. I'll be calling in the morning. Louise was already asleep. Not wanting a repeat of the accident, she placed him on a thick comforter on the floor. She began her search in the kitchen, praying silently, Lord, I do not know exactly what I'm looking for, but let me know it when I see it. And please get me out of this mess I've gotten myself into. I hate to bring anyone into it at this late stage, so I'll just try to get out of it somehow with your help. Please forgive me for not trusting you in the beginning. The more I think about it, the more I blame myself for allowing Diego Francia to use me like this. Lord, I am holding back on going to the police because I fear for Mrs. Francia, and I am also not sure what the doctor's examination of Louise produced. Please bring me through this. Amen. Jennifer located two drawers with nothing but bills. Her search through the living room only produced magazines and other miscellaneous paperwork, most of which was in Spanish. Calling it a night, she scooped Louise up and placed him on the bed next to her. She went off to sleep thinking of Brad and how much she missed him. As soon as she got off the phone with the Francias the next morning, her search of the guest bedroom turned up futile. She cautiously entered the master bedroom, almost expecting Mr. Francia to jump out at her. She was about to give up her search when she spied a safe tucked away in the back corner of the walk-in closet. It was draped with a red shawl. Where is the key? She thought as she searched around. Bingo! She eagerly reached for the three keys hanging from a nail above the safety box hidden behind Mrs. Francia's dresses. Jennifer carefully combed through each paper. Two of the sheets were a signed contract with Jennifer Livingston and a doctor's report from Dr. Ramon Avendano Cruz, whose patient was Louise Francia. This may shed some light, she thought as she read each line. Oh my, I knew it. I knew something was wrong with Louise, Jennifer said to herself as she glanced at Louise sitting next to her. Jennifer continued reading. Louise was born with a brain disorder stemming from medications Mrs. Francia took to fight pneumonia she had contracted while pregnant with Louise. He would be several years behind his peers physically and mentally. The medical report was signed by Dr. Ramon Avendano Cruz. There were other sheets of paper written in Spanish attached to the English copy she had just read. Jennifer saw other important documents. Several loan companies in three states were demanding payment. The reason cited for wanting the loan was to pay a medical bill. Other letters were from bill collectors, also demanding payment. She found other contracts similar to the one she signed. These were made out to Dr. Cruz for $1,000 each month to be paid to Diego Francia, who blamed the doctor for being negligent in treating his wife during their pregnancy, thus resulting in Louise's condition. another person by the name of Sullivan also signed another contract to pay $1,200 to Mr. Francia. There were similar ones written in Spanish. She also saw some letters written by Juan and Rosita Garcia, who Jennifer guessed were Luis's grandparents. So as not to be in their bedroom lest the Francias returned early, Jennifer took all the paperwork that had Luis's name written on it, the loan papers and the creditor letters demanding payment. Pushing the box back in the corner, she covered it with a shawl and placed the keys on the nail, pulling the hanging clothes back in place. Picking Luis up in her arms, she went to the living room. Thank you for joining us for this episode of White House Family Stories. You may purchase a copy of this novel and any other Christian fiction books read on this podcast from Amazon.com. Now, dear listener, please know that God, the divine author of all things, wants to write a great story with your life as well. But first, you must give him the pen by trusting him with the life he gave you and surrendering your heart to Jesus Christ as Savior. Here is how. 1. Accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:20, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Romans 3:23 reads, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." 3. Accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." 4. Accept the fact that you cannot do anything to save yourself. The Bible states in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." 5. Accept the fact that God loves you more than you love yourself, and that he wants to save you from hell. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." With these facts in mind, please repent of your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray and ask him to come into your heart and save you this very moment. The Bible states in the book of Romans 10:9-13, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Dear friend, if you are willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, please pray with me this simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I realize I am a sinner, and that I have done some bad things in my life. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life today. Amen. If you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read what to do after you enter through the door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Thank you so much for listening, and may God bless you until next time.